We're joined now by BJ Ayers. Not one, but two of her sons killed themselves, and since then, she's dedicated her life to trying to prevent suicide. She started the Grace for Two Brothers Foundation and is now the Suicide Prevention Coordinator for Southeast Wyoming. Her son, Brett, was 19 when he died in 2005. Ayers spoke with Wyoming Public Radio's Willow Belden.
We knew that he was depressed. He was having some trouble trying to decide, I think, you know, what he wanted to do with his life. He really didn't want to go to college right away. He thought about joining the military. I think there was some real social isolation going on with him, not that we realized that at the time, but he started distancing himself from his friends. You know, he was having some issues with some alcohol abuse, substance abuse. He had had some contact with, you know, law enforcement. He had gotten in trouble. That would have been before he graduated, but he just wasn't himself. We tried getting him some help, actually did an emergency intervention, but unfortunately he was over the age of 18. So with all the HIPAA laws in place, we weren't really able to help him very much at that point in time. Even just prior to his death, we were in the emergency room just a couple of weeks before he died, and he did not display the parameters, I guess, that the ER docs have to look for in someone who needs, you know, some mental health help. And unfortunately, 9 days later, he died. So that was, I think, the darkest day a parent could ever imagine. So.
Except that then you had to go through it again.
Yes, it was not quite 4 years after Brett died, and our oldest son, Beau, he was struggling very deeply with, I think, the guilt that he felt. When Brett died, I think, being that oldest brother, he never really got over that. You know, I think he wanted to protect him, look out for him, and I think he really felt that he had failed. So, Bo did struggle with depression, and he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and he was taking medications. But we don't know prior to his death if he had stopped taking those medications. We're just not, you know, real sure. We tried to help him, again, the best that we knew how. We wanted him to get some counseling, and it was just like a big tornado. In the last few months of his life, it just kept sucking him down with all the bad things that were going on in his life, and he just could not seem to get a handhold or a foothold. You know, he had some relationship issues, and he was also struggling with alcohol abuse. He had gotten a DUI about a year and a half before he died, and then 3 weeks prior to his death, he was really struggling and got another DUI. So he was really faced with the fact that he was probably going to do some time in jail. He was probably going to lose his job because he couldn't drive. So he was really feeling that hopelessness, I think, and that helplessness that we talk about someone who might be thinking about suicide. We were so very worried for him and about him. And I can remember, you know, talking to him one day, and he said, "Mom, I promise I won't do, you know, what Brett did." And I think, to the best of his ability, he did believe that. He didn't, you know, I don't think he wanted to die. I think he just got to a point where that pain was just so unbearable that he just couldn't go on.
I can't imagine how hard this must have been for the family.
It was. It's, you know, it's not something you ever get over. You know, I've actually had people ask me that, you know, "Well, how did you get over that?" And you don't. You know, it ripped our family apart. I mean, it was just such a gaping hole that was left by both of them. And that's not something, you know, you ever get over.
Now, you've been, since your sons died, you've started a foundation for suicide prevention. You're now also one of the state's regional suicide prevention coordinators. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what warning signs people can look for. What are some of the things that you might look for in friends or family that would be a red flag that might say, hey, this person really needs some help?
And that's a good question because, you know, there are times in all of our lives when we go through a period of time where maybe we're not 100%, you know, or we're feeling sad or we're going through a difficult time. But I think the key indicators for someone to really, you know, maybe that raises a red flag with someone you're concerned about is, you know, if they tend to be withdrawn for longer than, you know, 2 weeks at a time, if they seem depressed and down and more than sad, if they are not engaging in regular activities like you would normally see them do, all of a sudden they're not going to softball practice or they're not going bowling or they're not engaging in those activities that for them would seem normal. Withdrawing, you know, socially or isolating themselves. There could be a number of, a lot of situational clues as far as maybe that loss of a job, loss of any kind, whether it's a relationship, loss of a spouse due to death or divorce, you know, even a loss of a pet. So I think you have to look at the person that you know and say, now, you know, what's really going on? Chances are if you're concerned enough about them to think that they may be thinking about suicide or that you're very concerned about them, chances are maybe they have too.
So how should, you know, if you're concerned about somebody, what do you do then?
You know, I think it is difficult. It's difficult to talk about suicide. But I think we have to all realize that, you know, when we care about someone, it's important to have the courage, I guess, if you will, to ask them and simply, you know, state it as directly as you can. Willow, I'm very concerned about you. I've noticed this and this and this, and I really am concerned, and I'd like to know if you've had thoughts of suicide or, you know, have you had thoughts of killing yourself or hurting yourself? And I think the more direct you can be, I really think the better it is, because if you are ambiguous in any way, or, you know, if you ask the question, well, you're not going to do something crazy, are you? Or you're not going to do something stupid, are you? Well, they're going to tell you no, because to them, it's not.
And then what? What should you do in order to get that person some help, especially if maybe they are hesitant to want help?
You know, a lot of times it may be that you have to be a little bit persistent, but because you do care about that person, you want to make sure that they get the help that they need. You know, if you can stay with them and say, look, let's get someone here that can help us talk about what's going on. So maybe that's just another family friend. Maybe that's, you know, the pastor at your church or someone that you're very, very close to that you feel like you'd, you know, like to bring in and have them talk to the person also. There are a lot of licensed professionals, therapists, that can help someone through those difficult times in their lives. So, you know, if all else fails, we have a national suicide crisis line that you can actually call, and it will route you to somewhere here in Wyoming, and they can then get you to some help that's close to where you're at.
B.J. Ayers heads up the Grace for Two Brothers Foundation and is also one of the state's regional suicide prevention coordinators. Thank you so much for talking with us, B.J.
You bet. Thank you for having me.